This is Believe in Buckeyes with Chimdi Chekwa and Brian Browning. We're here today. We got to talk about the national championship game. The game is over. Georgia got the confetti dropped on their head, the balloons, national champions 2 years in a row. I don't know. I guess big ups to the Georgia Bulldogs. I don't know. But this episode is presented by Bet Online. Bet Online is now, you can now bet in Ohio. So for our Ohio listeners, betting, you can now gamble in Ohio online. Check out Bet Online for all your sports. NBA, college basketball, NCAA sports, all of the above. Check out Bet Online. They are your people to see. So how you feeling over there, Chim? The Bulldogs of the national championship. Did you see it coming?
Did I see it coming? Yes, I definitely saw it coming.
It was a surprise, no?
It was not a surprise. So initially going into it, I thought, you know, I'm gonna root for TCU. And as we got closer and closer to the day of the game, I started thinking, like, should I even watch this game? Like, I mean, at this point, I was just thinking back. I mean, I watched a few TCU games. I watched their big games, the Big 12 championship game. You know, I watched them play against Michigan. And they are capable. They are really good for college football team. So they had somewhat of a chance, but I'm just thinking about it, man. I'm like, they just don't have the guys to get it done. Like, they just don't have the guys to get it done. And I was reluctant to even watch it because even though in my mind I wanted to root for TCU, I just knew that it wasn't going to be close. Now, I didn't think it was going to be that level of a blowout.
I'm thinking three touchdowns.
It's one of those.
They won by 58 points. It was the largest margin victory, I think they said, ever. In any, not national championship, not plus, in any bowl game, period, the largest margin of victory for Georgia. So
they just didn't have the dogs. And I mean, when it came down to it, they couldn't stop them. Which, you know, if someone was to ask me, I would have predicted that they weren't going to be able to stop them, right? They weren't going to be able to stop them. However, the other side of it is TCU. TCU could not do anything offensively. And Georgia played how they played pretty much most of the season outside of the Ohio State game. They played how they did defensively throughout the season. They averaged 13 points with what they gave up per game, 12 and a half points pretty much. And that's pretty much how they played defensively against TCU. But the other side of it, TCU couldn't stop them.
Yeah, same here. I was, like you say, reluctant to watch it. I did turn it on. When I did turn it on, I was putting my kids down in the bed, so I turned it on. The game was already in the second quarter. When I turned it on, I believe the score was 7-17 at the time. And then TCU was driving. Like, it was kind of like close, like a little bit on the outside of the red zone type of deal. And that was just the end of it from there. But it was kind of like you said, it was classic Georgia. You know, first half was almost like a bend, don't break. They gave us some yards. They kept guys in front of them, no big plays. And then eventually they figure out how to get off the field on third down. And then their offense just literally ran them over. I mean, like it just literally ran them over. Like they were playing that three down front. Like the linebackers, kind of the outside linebackers, kind of like an in-between position. You don't know if they're setting the edge or playing like a zone. And I mean, and Georgia just crushed them. They just crushed them. Ran over. They did whatever they wanted to do. They threw the ball however they wanted to throw it, ran the ball however they wanted to run it, and the score reflected it. So I know for the Buckeye world, everyone was kind of feeling like, obviously, the national championship was won in the semifinals. That was the game. That game right there determined who the national champion was going to be, Ohio State versus Georgia. Obviously, lost by point, lost by field goal, so now Georgia gets to go on. Play TCU, and obviously it was a route and fairly easy national championship game for them.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the national championship game was the semifinal game. And just from a talent standpoint, first and foremost, I thought, you know, Ohio State had the talent to match up with Georgia, at least really offensively and defensively, I think they had the talent, you know, in terms of athleticism, size, all the things that are necessary to go against a team like Georgia. And I didn't think TCU had it. You know, I think back to, you know, some of those games. I remember playing against when we played against Troy. One year we played against Troy, man, and I was watching them on film. I'm like, dang, these receivers are nice. Like, these guys can play. I don't know if those guys went on to play in the NFL or not, but I'm like, man, these guys run routes. Smaller guys, but these guys, they're gonna give you some. They're gonna give us some headaches. And now I remember looking at the going back in the sheet and just looking at their offensive line and saying, oh, it don't matter what these guys on the outside. No matter what these guys on the outside do, this is going to be a bye week for me. Like, there's no way the quarterback's going to get a pass off. And then, by the end of the week, Tressel does what Tressel does, and I was convinced again that these guys were going to be, a solid, matchup, even though obviously they were underdogs, but you can't take them for granted. And I got to the game, just like I thought. These receivers, they was running these routes, so I'm like, dang, these guys are good. But I remember in the first quarter, after a few plays, I looked at the receiver and I'm like, man, you running good routes, but you never getting this ball. Like, you will never get the ball. Like, y'all just don't have the guys to block our defensive line. And that's kind of how I felt for TCU. It's just like, they just did not have the guys. And it's interesting because they just beat Michigan, the week before. And it shows the matchups are important. And, the matchup of Ohio State versus Michigan, Ohio State is the more talented team. But Michigan has enough talent that if they have the right game plan and things go right and Ohio State doesn't execute, they can win the game, which is what we saw. Then Michigan matched up against TCU. And I would argue that top to bottom, Michigan has a more talented team, but it's not the gap isn't so big that TCU can't come in, execute, and beat them. However, now you got TCU versus Georgia. And Georgia is the more talented team. I just thought the gap in certain key areas just wasn't close enough. And I am one of those who felt like the national championship happened in the semifinal game. I thought that was the game, and whoever won that game was going to win it all. Even though we saw Ohio State lose to Michigan not too far before that.
Right, yeah, because I'm kind of, we got to talk about actuals. I know a lot of Buckeye fans was like, hey, we see how easy TCU kind of laid down. Georgia just ran over them. Georgia couldn't do that to us. And that was like, well, we did play Michigan. We actually played Michigan, and we actually lost. Like, I think, like you say, I believe we was a better team, but we lost. We played against Georgia. I kind of felt like we was the better team, but we lost. And then, TCU, they play Michigan and they win. And then, the defense obviously give up a ton of points against Georgia, but that same defense against Michigan, they scored 14 points. They got two pick sixes against Michigan. Michigan was able to run the ball and had some success. Obviously, they scored some points, but in critical times, TCU was able to stop the run against Michigan and give themselves a chance to win that game and make Michigan kind of have to throw the ball. So, there's a reason you play the games. Obviously, TCU played Georgia and it didn't go very well. We played Georgia and it went pretty well, all up to like the last couple of minutes. But, it is what it is at this point in time. Yeah. When it comes down to it, Ohio State had a pretty good year, made it to the playoffs, I believe was warranted to be there. I think we represented ourselves well. When it came down to it, we didn't win the game. Georgia goes on. They play TCU. They win the game. Now they're back-to-back, more or less, national championship. And so, congratulations to those guys. But on our end, we want to kind of – obviously, the season's over now. So, obviously, that's one thing about the national championship is that's the end of it. No more football until the 2023 season. Ohio State, they are losing some good guys, we anticipate them to lose some more good guys. And now it's time to figure out, we got freshmen on campus. We got some guys that's probably been anxious, willing to, to get their chance to step up. And it's now it's time to put together this 23 season and kind of figure out, who are we going to be as Buckeyes when it comes to football this year now?
Yeah, I think, I mean, when you look at it, it's going to be on these coaches to get the new group. There's going to be a new team Every year is a new team, but this team is going to look a little bit different. They have a new leader on the offense at the quarterback position. A lot of guys going on to the next level as well. And the ability
I want to cut you off, but I do have to mention C.J. Stroud has not made an announcement he's going to the draft. So it's still in the air. It's still in the air at this point. So, hey, just throwing it out here.
To me, it's not in the air. It's not in the air. CJ, listen, I know CJ, I know you're probably not listening to this podcast, but I will post this on social media and I will tag you. Go make the money. Go get the money, bro. Go get the money. I'm telling you, it's out there. You've done enough. Go ahead. You'll be a top five pick. All these teams that need a quarterback, go get the money. Now, with that being said, there's going to be new guys. Ryan Day, the interesting thing. So Herbstreit reported that Ryan Day is considering giving up the offensive play calling and, you know, taking more of a CEO type role of the team to be able to pay attention to more than just, you know, focusing completely on getting the team offensively ready and, you know, having to prep for the play calling and all that other stuff. Which to me, I don't know what you think about it, but to me, there's positives and negatives. We saw what a Ryan Day offense can do in that semifinal game, right? It's kind of the tale of the two different tapes, right? The Michigan game, we saw what a not so aggressive and animated. You saw Ryan Day like flexing on the sideline and all that stuff, man. A not so animated and aggressive Ryan Day could potentially, fall short against a team like Michigan 2 years in a row, right? But then when we saw in the semifinal game and past big games, what an aggressive play calling Ryan Day can do, right? He's a great offensive mind. However, I do believe with so much, and even more now than when we played, that the head of the team, when you think about the head coach in college football, there's no GM. There's no GM in college football, right? Like the NFL. There's no president of football. It's kind of like a personnel guy, I guess, like the head of recruiting or something like that, right? But, you know, you don't have those other levels on top over the coach who are making team-wide decisions, right? So it falls on the head coach. Then you have NIL and all those other elements. You got transfer portal and the risk. There's no contracts, right? So these guys could leave. So you got to manage that. You got recruiting. You got to manage that. And then you have a defense that has talented players, that has a pretty good coach in those, to my opinion, a pretty good coach. However, there's an element of, you know, somebody who's not in the weeds that can look at it from, take a step back and look at it and say, look, offensively, we're doing this. Special teams, we're doing this. Defensively, we're doing this. Our biggest weakness right now, based on where we're at in this point of season, is our DBs and our ability to cover. So we need to figure out how we can focus in and address this now, right? And Ryan Day can do from an offensive perspective where he could say, okay, on practice, we're going to give them this over and over again until they can stop it, they can improve it, and then he can go find the next little fire that he could put out time and time again. I don't know if that's what he's thinking, but I think that there's some value to that because you see it with a lot of teams that have really explosive offenses. Man. You see some of those Chip Kelly Oregon teams. You know, Ryan Day was under Chip Kelly at some point. A lot of those, you know, the Oklahomas. A lot of these teams where the offenses are so explosive, the head coach is an offensive-minded guy. He hires a defensive coordinator. And the defenses are bad. But if you look at the recruiting, these guys are bringing in five-star, four-star talent. So the guys are there. You look at the NFL, these guys are getting drafted. So they could play football, but there's a level of detail that's missing defensively to actually stop guys. So what do you think about Ryan Day's potential decision of letting go of the play calling duties?
I love it. I love it. I feel like one of the criticisms that I did have, like, you know, was that when things were going wrong, it took too long to get fixed. So, so when under Coach Combs, it was essentially a season a not so great defense. And then it kind of nothing really happened until we like lost to Oregon at home. We lost to Oregon at home, and all of a sudden, just like, all right, we're gonna at least bring in a new defensive play caller. And like, yeah, you're in the season, so who you are as a defense really not gonna change that much. And it's who you are. Like, you know, this stuff needs to kind of take place spring ball to camp. Like, a lot of the issues that you see that, you know, that was coming in when Coach Combs was the defensive coordinator. And so now we're at a point now we have a new defensive coordinator. We have Coach Knowles in. And like you said, the defense was, to me, night and day. Obviously, the last two games they went out, not their best. But I feel like they're going in the right direction. But I love the fact that Coach Day is now feel like he's, you know, he has an offense of mind that he could transfer to someone else.
Yeah.
Hey, this is the offense I'm running as the head coach. You're going to be calling plays. It's kind of up in the air on who's going to be that official play caller, as we're going to be bringing someone up in the org, basically giving someone promotion, or if we're going to bring somebody outside the organization to take that role. But Coach Day has an offensive mind that he's going to have his teams go out, and they're going to have they're going to be able to kind of spread out. They're going to have weapons across the field, and they're going to come at you, and put points on the board. So now I feel that he knows that he's at a point where he can kind of take a step back. This is the offense I run. Turn it over to the offensive coordinator. He always going to be an offensive mind guy, so he's still going to spend more time there. But when issues comes up, he could now actually take the time out the week to study and figure out what is going on and what can we do to fix it. Is it a motivation thing? Do I need to speak to the defensive backs and, you know, and kind of get them to communicate properly so they play the right techniques and do the right things to make plays? If it's special teams, is it scheme? Like, hey, you know, I'm watching this on punt. If someone did this against our punt team, they could easily come up with a block. Same thing, or if I'm watching the field goal kicker, if I'm watching our field goal kicker, hey, let me really dive in and look at his technique when he's making kicks compared to when he's missing kicks. He could not have the time to do that. When you're the offensive coordinator, but you're also the head coach, your job is to focus in on offense. Like, you got to have, you know, you have to have these stuff in front of you. You have to have come up with a script that you're spreading around to your offensive coaches, to your offense, to your quarterback. And, you know, if that's someone else's primary job to do, once again, he's still to be over it. If it's a problem, there's issues, he's on the headset. Hey, you know, run your best run play right now. I want to run the ball. Hey, I want to see your best pass play. Let's take a shot. What shots do we have, you know, draw in the script for this week? Let's take a shot here on whatever that situation is. He still would have the ability to do that, but he just has more time to kind of dig into issues to say, like, these are the things going wrong. Let's get them fixed right away. When you look at Coach Myers, Tressel, both was offensive-minded guys, but, you know, they always had somebody kind of in that role that could do that, and they could, once again, focus in on those little things, and those little things turn into big things when it comes to Saturday in the game. So I love it. I hope that rumor is true, that, you know, he's feel comfortable enough that he could make that transition. And, you know, and do it well so he could kind of gain that experience and take that time to just build an overall better team. And once again, I feel like we know Coach Day could get to the playoffs. I feel like this would help him in those games, that he's caught those mistakes, he fixed them, and now that overall they're a better team because of it.
Yeah, it would help him, especially if he can do something to improve the defense. I mean, the reality is when your defense can't stop anybody, every team that you play has a real chance. You know, because if you can't stop, like, we play a good team, if you can't stop them, it doesn't matter what you do offensively.
Yeah.
There's always a chance because you turn the ball over. Okay, now you didn't score. You turn the ball over. Now you get the other team a chance to go score. You try to play field position. If you can't stop them, you can't ever play field position, right? Like, you always leave the doors always open if defensively you can't really count on real stops. And I think that's really been the challenge. And all Georgia did was say, we got killed defensively 1 week. So let's try to fix all those issues, right? Get ready for the national championship. We fix these issues. And guess what? We're going against a team that's not going to be able to do what the last team did as well. So you know, we had a bad game defensively. We're going to come back and play stronger the next week. And then we're still going to do what we do offensively. And the other team can't stop us offensively. So now you have a balanced attack. And that's why it becomes a blowout. It's not,
yeah.
I mean, yeah, Georgia's a better team, but it's because they're a balanced team, right? They do it offensively good enough, and they do it defensively. And now that creates that level of difference. But as we, you know, as we talk about, you know, in preparation for next year and, you know, what Ohio State is going to do moving forward with the coaching staff and all that stuff, we also got to talk about the players, right? Because they are losing some guys, right? And this is part of college football. You're always going to lose some guys. But they're losing some key guys, right? C.J. Stroud, they're losing some of the offensive line. Their DBs. The cornerbacks, it just seems like, I mean, it's been a story around the cornerback room for a while because they had some guys who were committed, that decommitted. Then, you know, you had some guys who transferred, not just this year. So you had J.K. Johnson transfer. You had a couple other DBs, safeties that transferred this year. The year before, last year, you had a safety, you had a cornerback transfer. So every year, just been some guys going out. And now, you don't necessarily have the same. I mean, they have a couple guys, two guys coming in at the cornerback in the cornerback room, but you know, you have some decommits as well. So you're starting to get very thin at that cornerback position. The key thing about when we talk about cornerback, people think about just two guys playing defense, but guys in these skill positions always also play special teams, right? And there's also potential injuries, right? So you got guys running out on kickoff, running out on punt, punt block. Running down on punt return and running down on punt and, you know, in different spots on punt return. So when you start, when you have a thin room like that, it could be very, very impactful. You have less experienced guys, and these are our key positions. And not only are they key positions, they are a position that did not perform as well as we would have expected some Ohio State cornerbacks to perform. So that's going to be a challenge next year. But then from the offensive line standpoint, there's also a few guys moving on.
So far we have our left tackle, Pierce Johnson. He's entering the draft. He made that announcement a few days ago. Our starting right tackle, DeJuan Jones, who's been starting that position for two seasons straight now. He's entering the draft. As in our center, Luke Whiteley, he's also entering the draft as well. And when you look at any offensive line, those are, you know, you got your left tackle, obviously your blind side, your right tackle, who also going to be very essential in the pass game and keeping your quarterback clean. And then you got your center, who essentially is the more or less the leader of the offensive line, just due to the fact usually it's your center job to go out there and make calls. So, A lot of plays are based on, when it comes to blocking schemes, is who we feel is the Mike linebacker. Maybe in this scheme we're blocking the Mike linebacker, or maybe in this scheme we're blocking the strong side linebacker, weak side linebacker. But we leave it to the center to determine, you know, who is that, who's in that spot that who are at least going to consider the Mike, so we know where everything goes and kind of goes from there when it comes to passing also and run game as well when it comes to, you know, working up to the second level. So we're losing three guys that's in basically, very key positions on the offensive line. The guys behind them are not very experienced. When it comes to, we got some experience out of Josh Fryer. He played last year, he was injured. The year before that, he got a little experience. But then our guards are returning. When you're looking at Matt Jones, who I'm hearing may move over to the center position, which would be good. Got a year playing under his belt, so we know what it's like to be out there in the fire. If you can move over to center and take that experience of being on the field and seeing it, that'd be fantastic. But, you know, obviously, you got to be able to perform there before he could do it. We know he can perform at guard. Question mark if he could perform at center. And then we also are returning. We had another guard returning as well. Donovan Jackson, he started at left guard for us most season, and he'll be returning as well. So there's definitely some questions there, because when it comes to off the line, you know, first off, the guys that we had was so good and they just kind of gelled together. Essentially, there really wasn't much of a topic for the last couple of seasons. Michigan game, we have some, you know, some protection issues there. But other than that, they kind of held up for the majority of the last couple of years. So you got some inexperience coming in when it comes to the offensive line. Obviously, like we're anticipating, we're going to have some experience at the quarterback position as well. So there are some question marks on the offense. When it comes down to it, me being an Ohio State fan and hopeful, I'm not hugely concerned. I feel like Coach Day will figure it out. But it's at least a conversation that, you know, we got some newer guys that stepping into some key roles. And it'll be some competition there, and which is always good to make you improve, being some real competition in several key areas. And let's see who rises to the top when it comes to when it comes to fall.
Yeah, I'm not concerned really about the offense at all. I mean, I guess I don't know if I should be really. I think Ryan Day is going to have the offense going. I think you're going to have a new quarterback. And the Notre Dame game, I think, is week 4. So you get 3 games for that quarterback to get the real experience to be prepared to play against a team that can actually compete against Ohio State. So I think they'll be ready there. Honestly, I think the challenge is defense. And at this point, we got now into the offseason until next season to get the defense ready to play. I think the cornerback room is an issue, not because of talent, though. I think guys are going to come in talented enough, at least from an athletic standpoint, to be able to play the position. I think the challenge is, can we get them ready from a technique sound standpoint to be able to perform? And I'm going to be honest, man. I hate to criticize coaches too much because I understand the challenge that they have to deal with getting these guys ready to play, especially in this new type of era of college football with NIL and all this other stuff. But
yeah, I feel like you about to criticize the coach, Jim.
I'm not a guy who likes to point fingers, right? But these guys just did not perform to the level that they are capable of performing. And I can't put too much on the player because that player has, I mean, you got to put someone on the player, but if he's on the field, that means you trust him to be able to get this thing done, right? So you gotta get him ready to do it. And I just thought they didn't play to the level. Now, they didn't play, I'm going to keep it honest, they didn't play horrible. But to be the type of Ohio State defense that we expect, there's gonna be a lot of improvement that's needed. And I don't care if it's from a guy who's experienced or a guy who's inexperienced. I think even an inexperienced corner should be ready to play by next year. I mean, you have guys who are on the roster this year on scholarship. A guy like Jair Brown, who played in the game, started that Wisconsin game, played relatively well, but didn't play much after that. To me, should be ready to play. Should be ready to go.
It's funny with coaches because, like you say, I know when you get to this level, you assume all the coaches are good and all of them are great. But to be honest, sometimes, you know, some is kind of always is not bad coaches like that. And some coaches are X and O's guys. Like, you know, they could go over the zones or go over where you're supposed to be and how things are supposed to go. And then you got some coaches that are actually good at technique. Like, hey, listen, this is what the technical way that you should go about, you know, getting this done. These are the fundamentals that you need to be doing and could correct it. And funny as it sounds, some coaches could do both, but a lot of times you get one coach that's like good at one or the other,
right?
And a lot of times it shows,
And at the cornerback position is one that you have to coach technique, and you have to coach it well. And if you don't coach it well, then those guys will not be ready to play. And the only way, and I'm gonna be honest, there's sometimes there's coaches that aren't good at coaching technique, but there's players who are more experienced that are able to, you know, kind of help the younger player get, you know, be able to kind of coach him up and get him there. So that coach, it kind of fills in for that coach. I play with guys who are intelligent and smart and understood, you know, the game and kind of passed down that to me as well. But I don't think Ohio State has that from a player standpoint. So it's on the coaches. And I think, you know, they got from now until the season starts. Jim knows in year 2, he's getting $2 million. It's good money.
That's good money. Good money.
And I'm a believer in Jim Knowles' scheme. I'm a believer in his scheme. I don't think scheme was an issue this year at all. I do think from a DB standpoint, I think executing on the field, what the scheme is supposed to be trying to accomplish was a challenge. And it's very, very important, especially when you have a lot of retooling on the offense. You have a new quarterback. You got new offensive linemen. We can't expect the offense to be humming at the same rate to start the year that they were this past year to finish it off. So you need to be balanced offensively and defensively, at least from a talent level, from execution level, to be able to give guys, new quarterbacks, time to be able to get to that a higher level and gain some experience and be able to win some games that may be more defensive games and special teams games than they are offense. But, you know, that's to be determined, to be seen. So speaking of quarterbacks, though, who do you think is going to be the starting quarterback?
They're going to throw me on the spot, man. So I know we got Devin Brown. I believe he's still listed as a freshman. I'm not blanking on he redshirt freshman or true. But then we also have Kyle McCord, who actually he was essentially the number two this year. So yep. Once the game got out of control, Kyle got out there and he played and. He was able to score some points. Obviously, at that point in the game, you're not really attacking, right? You're really just kind of trying to run the clock out and kind of just getting out the huddle, snap the ball, get it out. When I watch Kyle play so far, it's just kind of tough to say, you know, if he's definitely in that line of quarterbacks that we're used to. Let's be honest, that we're accustomed to now. You're looking at CJ. You're looking at Fields, you're looking at Dwayne Haskins, you know, and that line of quarterbacks coming through. So it's tough to say. Right now, if I had to just, you know, put my life on the line and throw a quarterback out there, I guess I would go with Devin Brown. And it's due to the fact that it just seems that right now that he's a more of an explosive player. In a little bit, we get to see him play when he's kind of back into the spring.
Yeah.
Obviously, these guys are going to have to do a lot of improving, right? Kyle's been there the longest, so he should know the system the best. And it's time to actually, like, do it now. Like, you know, it's real competition. Like I said, it's going to be – you know, competition is always fun. It should bring the best out of you. I know we have Lincoln coming in as well, true freshman, who's probably to be honest, probably already the best athlete. You see, his dunks and everything that he's doing, performing on a high school level, pretty athletic. But it'd be tough to me for a true freshman to come in and get that starting role. But between Kyle and Devin, it'd be interesting to see because I know they have to fill it right in the era of. The transfer portal and all that was going on. It's like you have to be turned on for this. You know, CJ, like we say, no decision is official. You know, this is, I'm going to say the date is January 11th. no official.
He's gone. From
CJ at this time.
He's gone. But
we're assuming that most likely he's gone. So it's really time for competition to kick in. Like, you know, be your best. It should be your best. All season of working out, leading into spring ball. A lot of time when it comes to that quarterback, you have to be a leader, right? It's not just going out and, you know, doing the X's and the O's and saying the plays. Like, you have to show that you're a leader and you can lead the team and you're that guy for it. So, well, obviously, I believe we're in a good spot. I believe the guys are capable. I know Coach Day's offense, he will have them ready to go. So, no concerns there at all. They will be – whoever takes the field will be able to score points. But when it comes down to it, I feel like it's time for the competition and what's your legacy? You know, who's going to go out there and put it on the line and mark themselves as the leader of the Ohio State Buckeyes and be able to excel and kind of take it from there. So
So I honestly, I've watched a little bit of those guys playing. I don't have the same level of, I haven't seen them as much as the coaches have seen them, or even to a level to where I could actually make a really good judgment as to who the next quarterback should be. But I do think Devin Brown is going to be the guy. And I only base it off of, you know, what I saw in the spring game. First of all, If somebody based their judgment of me as a player based on how I play in the spring game, it would be kind of the worst. Like it'd be they'd have the worst picture of me. But you remember, I don't know if you remember spring practice, man. Like we grind out spring practice. We'd have these scrimmages. You know, we're lifting weights. We're practicing. These is like, I don't know, for some reason, it was only like 18, 19 practices, but these joints were like serious practices, bro.
Yeah, it was.
And by the time I got to the spring game, my legs were dead. Like, literally dead. I had nothing left, for real. I go on to the spring game and get beat by, like, the four-string receiver. So if anybody based anything off my spring game, like, bro, this guy ain't good, but...
But for myself, don't see different for me. See, I feel like I solidified my spot as a starter. So I started 3 years at Ohio State. My first year starting officially, I was a redshirt sophomore. And so that spring, you know, back then the defense really didn't move. So Cameron Hayward was my defensive end. I had to block Cameron Hayward all through camp. Right. In the spring game, we was on opposite teams all through the spring game, me and Cam Hayward. And I performed well, to be frank. And back in that time, Cam was a good player as a freshman, started some games as a freshman, but he really had one move. It was the bull rush. He just ran straight. Yeah. He ran. It was amazing how he used to do it. But every play, he used to get up at the snap. He wasn't overly fast. He got a lot stronger since he got to the NFL. Yeah. But in the college, he used to just get up, and his effort of running straight was just tremendous. He used to bull rush you every play. And so, sometimes you stop him, sometimes you didn't. But I played really well against him. I remember in the spring game, I played pretty well. I didn't give any sacks or any tackles for a loss against him or anything like that. And I remember after the spring game, Coach Ginn calls me. It's like that night. It's like, you got the spot. You got the spot for right tackle this season.
That's because Cam's legs was dead like mine. Like, he didn't have it. He didn't have it for the spring game. We had put so much work in. We were lifting weights. We was going hard. The scrimmages. We used to do those scrimmages. Those were the games. Those were the games where we really put the work in. Like,
yeah,
I'm a ball in these scrimmages. By the time you get to the spring game, it's like, bro, after this, we on break. This is it. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I ain't got nothing left for this game. You got all these fans in here. I'm just here. So I won't get fined.
Exactly. But I'm just saying, it's definitely some time to play some good football. And once again, like, you know, practice to the game.
Yeah.
You know, you got to put it out there. You got to put it out there. It's a time to improve. It's not like going through the motions type of deal, just learning the playbook, it's time to compete. Like, you know, buckle it up, go out there, and that's how you do it. So that's what I expect to see out of Devin Brown, Colt McCoy. You know, I know they usually open up a few practices for former players in the spring, and I look to be there because that's what I want to see. Like, who got that fire? You know, who's bringing that leader, who shows that they know it, and going out there and really getting it done.
I think Devin Brown. I think it because of, I feel like, just from what I saw in the spring game, which is the smallest sample size in the world, but I think he has quick decision making, steps up in the pocket, finds his receiver, makes his decision quick, doesn't see it, takes off, gets his yard. So I just think the quicker decision making. However, McCoy, I mean, there's also improvement. It's hard to build in the improvement as well because these guys are getting better daily. So we'll see. I think Ryan Day would have, I mean, either one of those guys ready to play.
It's always fun as a, you know, now as being former players as a fan. You know, that's like one of the most, like, your quarterback is gone. Who's the next guy? That's like one of the best off seasons you could look for, like, you know, some competition at quarterback, because it gets really fun and you get to really see, you know, guys put their best foot out there trying to, you know, lock down that spot for the fall camp and for the season. So it's a segment that I want to start a new segment here because we lost to Michigan two times in a row now. And, you know, when we was in school, we used to always, you know, not worry about Michigan, but we always kept our eye on them. Always kept our eye on what was going on with the university here. So I wanted to just have a quick little segment on, you know, what's going on up north. I feel like the biggest news right now is really two things, and it's huge for them, that their running back, Blake Corum, who, in my opinion, he went in the Heisman Finalist. In my opinion, should have been the Heisman Finalist.
Definitely should have been that type
of season until he got injured late. It's returning. He's coming back for another year. Coach Harbaugh. There's a lot of noise that he might be going on to the NFL. He finally beat Ohio State a couple of years. Now he's getting an old call. His phone is ringing again to go back to the NFL. So I just want to have a quick segment on, you know, keeping an eye on the team up north on Ton. Any thoughts on that? Are you concerned about any of those things? And do it affect you in any way? Or is it right now just too early to care?
Yeah, I mean, it's not too early to care because we just lost to him 2 years in a row. So Blake Corum coming back is big. He's a guy who's a difference maker. He was their best player all year. Now they have another running back who was also very capable in Edwards. But having both of those guys in the backfield for another year, that's huge. Another thing that will potentially be huge is whether or not, you know, the coach Harbaugh leaves or stays at the end of the day, because, you know, Harbaugh is a legitimate elite, and he's an elite college football coach. Now prior to the last 2 years, we gave him a lot of, you know, stuff about losing to Ohio State, not being able to beat Ohio State. But if you look at
another big game, he lost a lot of big games.
But if you look at his track record, and I played against him when he was at San Francisco. He got that team to the Super Bowl, right? Before that, he was at Stanford. This is Stanford. They didn't get the best talent. I mean, they had Andrew Luck, right? But they didn't get in every position the best talent. But the talent that they had, they developed that talent, and these guys were effective. He had guys like Richard Sherman, a lot of guys who played in the NFL. But let's make no mistake about it. He got those guys developed and able to understand the game of football in a way that makes them effective on the field. So he's a really good coach. So Michigan losing them would be huge. And I do think he has that itch. He wants to get back in the NFL. He has some unfinished business in the NFL. Even if he stays this year, I think every single year is going to be the same situation where he's exploring NFL jobs. And then they have the investigation. You know how investigations go, right?
Right.
If they're looking for something, they're going to find it.
Yeah.
Because it's happening. At every major college football program, something is happening that's not supposed to happen. So if they look for something, they will find something. That's for sure. So this would be a good time for him to just kind of, he beat Ohio State twice. Yeah. He's reached his ceiling. He's not winning a national championship at Michigan. the best Michigan can do is beat Ohio State, win the Big Ten, make the college football playoff, and potentially make it to a national championship. He's not winning a national championship at Michigan. This is the best he can do, okay? Yeah. So, and he knows that. You know, he's as intelligent of a football mind as anybody else. He knows he's reached his ceiling. And why keep banging your head up against the ceiling where it's unfinished business for him in the NFL? So, you know, I think if there's an opportunity, if there's a job offered to him, it doesn't matter what, any one of the 32 teams, it had to be a perfect situation, he's going to go. So it really comes down to whether or not they offer him the job. And wouldn't it be weird if the Colts offered Jim Harbaugh the job? I think he played for the Colts back in the day at some point.
Yeah, I don't recall.
And the Colts also draft CJ Stroud at quarterback. And now you got the former Michigan coach who CJ couldn't beat as his head coach. Which actually, if I look at it objectively, not as an Ohio State fan, would be a good situation for CJ. Harbaugh would be good for CJ in the NFL. But if I look at it through my Ohio State Buckeyes You know what I'm saying? Man, that'd be some weird. That'd be weird.
It'd be weird. It'd be weird. And instantly, like, make it weird on the NFL level to really support CJ because of the head coach, right? Like, you know, just kind of like, obviously want to do well, but just like, but I mean, those are a bunch of big what ifs. So we'll see how it plays out, but. This is our time, so we want to say this episode was presented by Bet Online. Once again, you could gamble in Ohio now. It's 2023, so if you're across the nation, if you're in Ohio, feel free to check out Bet Online. Place your bets, all the sports, all the odds, and it's a great place to bet if you're into that. Once again, this is Believe in Buckeyes with Brian Brownie and Chindi Chekwa, and we will catch you next time. Thanks.
Go Bucks.
Go Bucks. It's a new season.